Welcome to the Ladies of Metal Show, featuring interviews with metal bands, tattoo artists, and of course, the Ladies of Metal models, where we keep you up to date with everything surrounding the metal, underground, and alternative community. This is the Ladies of Metal Show, hosted by Gwen Anastasia.
I can't be tracking, like, the death toll every day, like...
Yeah, it's so bad for your psyche to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty metal and all. Welcome back to the Ladies of Metal Show. I'm Carly Gwen, aka Gwen Anastasia. With everyone stuck at home, bands included, with tours canceled and postponed, it's actually a good time to catch up with some of my friends who I haven't gotten a chance to talk to in a while. So our schedule's finally lined up because, let's face it, we're all quarantined. So this was a fun one. Ryan Neff from Miss May I called in from his house in Ohio, and we talked for like 2 hours about all types of stuff, so we had to cut it down because we were just like going off on like a whole bunch of cool topics. But we talked about the coronavirus, obviously, but what the shutdown means for artists and people in creative fields, the band's plans for the year that may or may not have been affected, Netflix, of course, tattoos, and Ryan's new podcast. So strap in, guys, grab a snack, clean your house, do what you gotta do, and let's start the show.
We're quarantined, so I got sent home from tour like 3 weeks ago today, and I've been outside twice since then.
I mean, it's weird. Like, the only place I go is like the grocery store.
Yeah, like, I've gone out for the normal stuff you're allowed to, but I've only, like, broken the rules one time or two times. Because on the tour, I was doing, like, the social distancing hangout, like, 6 feet apart, or wash your hands, you know, try and be careful. And then all of a sudden, I got home, and then the news just scared the shit out of me. So then I wouldn't even do that. So then I did go on a hike with a friend twice, which is, like, easy to do. You know, you're outside, which is good. I think it's, like, necessary. I think being completely by yourself is kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's been so weird.
Well, it's a weird position for me, too, because I'm laid off. I have a feeling that music will be the last thing to come back. So I feel like I'm laid off for probably another 3 to 6 months after everything goes back to normal.
Right. I'm kind of in the same position as you, I guess. Like, I'm an actor, so all, like, the film productions have been shut down.
All of your stuff and my stuff, I feel like we're both going to be, unfortunately, one of the last things to come back together, because entertainment just requires large groups for the most part. Unfortunately, normally we say fortunately because that's the whole reason we do it.
Yeah.
But, now at a time where large groups are like frowned upon, I feel like we're going to be the last ones that get lucky and get to go back to work.
Well, right. And it's, I don't know, it kind of is frustrating because I see a lot of people like on social media kind of complaining about working from home or like having to teach their kids from home. But it's like, at least you're still working. So I don't know. Everyone's schedules and routines with work and even personal life, too, is just all messed up.
Well, my year used to be really consistent. And we would do, like, last time I saw you, was it the ABR? We were Poughkeepsie, maybe?
Yeah, we were in New York. That was like last March.
Okay, so that was in the middle of, like, one of those time periods where I was on the road, like, at the very least, for a month, every 3 months.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? There was just always a tour going on because we were in the middle of the record cycle. Well, now the record is old. The record cycle is over. And then we planned on taking time off because we never had. We did 6 albums in 10 years, and we toured all of them the whole time. So we decided, after the Monument tour, over the summer, the plan was just take maybe 6 months, you know, so that would have been, we would have started touring again in January, but then we found out on the ABR tour that Levi and Joe were going to have their baby, so we were like, okay, cool, so we'll put a pin in it, and then what we'll do is we'll start planning to record, because that seems like the most reasonable thing for us to do without you having to be gone on the road,
right? Right.
The baby's born, and then because of that, since I'm the guy who does pretty much only touring, I never really tried to do anything else so far.
Okay.
I didn't know what to do with myself, so I started touring with other bands. So basically, I would, like, do a tour with Miss May, I come home, do this, fuck up my sleep schedule, record songs for the new album until, like, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 in the morning, depending. And then sleep until as late as like 4 o'clock, and then I'd go on tour with Chelsea Grin. And then I'd come home and I'd do it again, and then I'd go on tour with Miss May, and then I'd go on tour with Chelsea Grin. So like, I'm kind of used to the schedule, but what I'm not used to is that normally when I reach out to people, I'm like, hey, I know no one's heard from me. I've been sleeping. You guys want to hang out? Now I can't do that because everyone's like, no, we can't.
It's just like a weird, it's a weird thing that I've never, because I'm like super social. I'm like always trying to go out and like hang.
I don't know if you've ever had a phase like this, but I tried to, I think maybe it became cool to tell people that you're an introvert a couple years ago. Like,
sure.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I said that a few times, but I think this has taught so many people that being an introvert and liking and needing social interaction are not necessarily tied together. Even if you're an introvert, which I am sort of an introvert. I do like my time by myself, but I don't like all my time by myself. Like I'm addicted to, I realized on that last tour, I did this one with Chelsea Grin in the fall, and I've been best friends with them for years. And when they said I could come work for them, I was like, perfect. Can't go on tour with my band right now. Might as well go on tour with my best friend's band.
Yeah.
So I'm working with them, and it was great because they were like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I don't want to do anything on stage because I actually don't want the pressure of handling the performance. I didn't think I was good enough at guitar to be a guitar tech or anything like that. Plus, they have a dude who's, am I better than that dude? Then it's a definite no.
Okay.
So I was like, can I just sell merch? And I'll manage the tour. Because I knew that selling merch would put me in front of all the same people that I would be meeting if I was out with my band.
Right.
And
that
I
makes
didn't
sense.
Understand that. I didn't understand why I wanted that job until the tour ended. And the tour ended on Thanksgiving. So the last show was the night before Thanksgiving. And they all were going to fly to Mexico for another show. So I just drove home from Dallas because I was driving the lights home for them. So I went from like being with 10 people I liked every day for a month the day before to being completely by myself the next day. And I liked it for the first day. And then by the end of the second day, I was like, oh my God, there's no people. Like,
yeah, it's so bizarre.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until then. But that's why I get so bummed every time I get off the road. So I come home and then I come into my room and I basically follow pandemic protocol even when I'm not under a pandemic. And then I'm like, why are you having such a bad time at home? And then I'm like, oh, because you don't talk to anybody. That would be a pretty good reason why.
Yeah.
I think so many people are learning that now.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much the same way. Like you said, like, I do like my time by myself. And like, there are nights where like, maybe I don't want to go out or whatever. But like, this is definitely teaching me that I need to maybe like, make more of an effort to see my friends when this is over. And like, don't kind of sleep on plans with people because like there's only so much Netflix I can watch and it's just, it's not the best. Like, this is not what I want to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. No one knows what's going to happen. And the stress of not knowing what's going to happen with your livelihood.
Right.
That's horrible. That's part of entertainment. I know it's probably the same for you. It's the same for comedians. It's the same for actors, musicians, like any of those fields that we're interested in. You kind of get used to that lack of security. It's almost sort of, it's not exciting to be when you're broke, but it's exciting when you are putting together like a cool creation or cool opportunity one after another. But then on all of a sudden something like this one, there's no opportunity. I think that's the most stressful part of this, is you're like, there's no chance for me to do anything about this right now. And I also can't really see how far down the line it's going to be to where I can do anything. And I think that's the biggest stress about all of this. Cause you're like, I don't really know when this is going to end. Cause it just keeps changing, just keeps getting further and further away.
Well, right. Yeah. And they keep like, at least in Pennsylvania, they extended like the kind of like non-essential ban until at least the end of April.
Yeah, they just did. I think we are basically following each other by a day or two. Like,
yeah.
If we don't do it the same day, we are doing it the day after you or the day before you.
Right. And I mean, I'm trying to, like, I guess mental health-wise, just try to tell myself I'm not the only person this is happening to. And, like, a bunch of my friends are actors and comedians and musicians, and like, you know, nobody's making any money right now because we can't work from home.
Yeah, the mental health end is, you know, not the easiest in this industry anyway, so.
Right.
I can only imagine how stressful it is if you have a lot of people depending on you. And for my band, it's sort of the same, since we weren't scheduled to be on the road yet. The only thing that's got on the books right now is there's a tour in November, which I'm obviously worried about, and we're supposed to record a record. So I'm looking at both of those, because, like, they're off in the distance, but there's really not too much on my work end that has hit me yet. The only thing I lost was the Chelsea Grand Tour, but I know, like, how many bands did we read about that, like, literally landed from another country, and the day they landed, it was like, your whole tour is canceled, go home.
Right, can you imagine?
So much money invested just to get started.
A lot of tours got postponed, at least, but I did see a lot got canceled, and that's, like, really sad.
Yeah, well, one thing that happened that is making it really complicated is it's so competitive to get asses in the seats these days. Whether you think it's because there's 500 great bands now, or whether it's the way social media and streaming works, you're so many more musicians are able to expose themselves to cool fan bases. But it's way harder to get asses in the building than it used to be. And because of that, those tour packages are so important. And it takes so much cooperation and communication between the bands and the teams working the bands to put these great tours together that you might be booked over a year in advance. Like, I confirmed a November tour that I'm hoping goes down. Obviously, it's so far away, it's not announced or anything yet, so I can talk about it like this, like, kind of broadly, but...
Okay.
We confirmed that one, like, as one of the lower bands on the bill over like 6 or 7 months ahead of time, 8 months ahead of time.
Wow.
So all those bands who are having to postpone, I can't imagine how stressful that is, because it's like you're trying to put these dates in June or July, and you're like, I don't even know if we can do those in June or July. They might have had another tour in June or July, though.
Right.
What if you were like supposed to tour with Killswitch in March, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going on tour with Killswitch, and then you hadn't announced it yet, and you were, like, going to go on tour with Gojira in July or something. Now, all of a sudden, like, two whole chunks of the year are overlapping at the same time, and then everybody's going to be on tour at the exact same time when this is over, because everyone needs money, and everyone wants to see their fans, and everyone wants to play some gigs. So it's going to be, like, a free-for-all. I think it'll be an interesting time to see, will we even have enough venues for all of these shows to happen?
We don't know how long this is even going to go for, so we could still be in quarantine in, like, July, so maybe none of that's going to matter.
Yeah, I mean, Europe already canceled early June festivals, and that's, like, Download Festival, Rock'em Ring, Rock'em Park.
Oh, my God.
Two German festivals, I mean, those are 30 to 50,000 people a day or something. Canceling an event like that is not, I don't know how those kind of events recover from the money lost of canceling something like that, because at this point in the year, everything was already done.
Right.
Like, everything was prepared and ready to go. They were at the promo point, I'm sure, and it was just a matter of, like, rolling the stages out and getting the actual festivals going, the physical event going, and then it's just like, nope, not happening this year. I know you probably dumped millions and millions into this, but like you were saying earlier, the only comfort in this is it's happening to everyone at the same time.
Yeah.
Rather than usually when you're this stressed out, it's like you can pinpoint to the moment you really fucked up and why, and the reason that, like, you're going through something. Whereas this, it's like, as individual people, we didn't do anything.
No.
It's just like, it just sort of happened.
It takes kind of the accountability out of it. It's not just like, oh, I'm super lazy and I lost my job or something like that. It's like,
yeah,
you literally can't have a job.
Yeah, so do you have any plans? Are you doing anything new that you weren't doing before now that you got all this time, or is it pretty much like business as usual?
I'm like always busy. Like, I feel like I live in my car. Like, I'm always driving to, like...
You got your hand in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm in New York City a lot. I'm in Jersey, Philly. Like, I'm just driving a lot, right? So being stuck at home is like kind of a weird thing for me, but it's kind of forced me to like slow down a little bit.
Yeah, same. Even when I come home, I think because I do like to travel, I live in Columbus, but family's out in Dayton. It's only 60 miles or something. It's really not that bad. I'll drive it 3 or 4 times a week just to see people because I'm like, I can't sit. I can't just sit still. I gotta at least feel like I went somewhere and did something today.
I mean, in my normal life, like, I have friends in Jersey and Philly, so, like, I'm kind of, like, always trying to hit people up, so I'm in my car a lot. But now, I'm not. But, yeah, so I also do, like, stand-up comedy, so I'm trying to write more stuff for that, because I don't always have, like, extra time to write, so I've just been, like, writing. And I've been writing, like, a script for, like, a short film. I'm, like, working out a lot, because, like, might as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying not to, like, sit around watching Netflix all day.
I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I feel like I'm doing better than a lot of people have seen with the Netflix in, because I can still get confused. Like, something will become popular and pop up, and I'm a couple days behind because, you know, I didn't see the show the day that it was released. I invested money in recording stuff. I never used to write songs for us. My involvement would happen when I laid the bass down over what we had written as a group, or I was doing the vocal end, whereas I invested so I could write whole songs.
Wow.
And teach myself how to do that. I also felt bad. I felt like I was out of touch and out of date, and I can't stand that.
Right.
Like that bugs. Whenever I feel like we're becoming the old band, or I'm becoming the old man in a situation, like I do love making that joke about myself. You know, the Grandpa Neff joke, but it's real. Like, one thing that bugs me more than anything, and I can't stand the feeling, is when I feel like I don't understand how something works. It just makes me feel so stupid. So I invested all the money in the recording stuff, and it was real slow when I started, but then with this mandatory time in, I've been doing that.
Is your podcast this story time with Grandpa on Anchor?
Yeah, so I did the first one on Anchor, which was cool. I liked the format, because the way I bought everything to do them in person, and I did about 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I did Sturgis, Andy from We Car, Levi, and then I did one with his wife. The first one with Joey was fun, but I feel like I released it. I've got a perfectionist problem.
Yes, me too.
Things that I make. And I was told that I need to just shove the first one out. I need to just push it out there. It's not going to be perfect, and personally, I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to hate it, and I'm going to look at it and find a million things wrong with it, and I did. The second one's made, and then that gave me a bunch of ideas on how to make it sound more professional and make the second one better, and I wouldn't be doing any of this stuff if I was traveling. So, I mean, there is some good coming out of being stuck in here, I guess.
I mean, I don't know if we can speak for everybody if, like, everybody's doing that, but I think that it's, like, keeping you sane probably to, like, keep learning and, like, try new things, because you might as well, because you're gonna get bored sitting at your house all day.
Yeah,
you know,
being on camera is new for me. I mean, I've done music videos, and somebody could record us playing live, and if I'm in the live environment, I do not care. It just does not bug me.
Right.
5 people, 50,000 people, it's the same thing. I mean, obviously they're not the same thing, one's more exciting than the other, but, you know, the nerves I'm going to get are, if I have nerves in front of 50,000 people, it's not because there's 50,000 people. It's like, damn it, the risk of me looking stupid if I fuck up is exponentially higher in front of 50,000 than 5.
Right.
I always have 4 other people where if it goes wrong, I'm like, see, we fucked up, you guys. Damn, we could have done a much better job. Whereas when you do stuff on your own, it's like, oh man, that thing, I'm pretty tough on myself, so that I'm trying to get over that, and I don't think I would have done any of those, even though they're 2 small things, I wouldn't have done either of them. If I was left to my own, like, regular time schedule, I don't think I would have done either of them.
Right.
I taught myself how to play guitar since October 2, which is another one. It always bugged me that I wasn't very good at guitar, so I've been trying that too. Which is really frustrating, because I'm so much worse at it than bass.
Oh my god.
So mad.
I would not have expected that. I thought it was kind of like, you know, if you can get the mechanics down on bass, it's like kind of the same thing.
I think I made about 2 years of improvement in 2 months because I'm so proficient at bass already.
Sure.
I understand the instrument very, very well. I can explain exactly what I want a guitar player to do while standing in front of him. I just don't have the muscle memory that a great guitar player does.
Okay.
So it's very fumbly when I play, you know? So I was like playing this Alkaline Trio song the other day.
Oh man, love them.
I was playing Time to Wait.
Cool.
And I wanted to play that because it had two different chord styles in it. And the guitar is tuned in drop A. And so I'm learning to play power chords, 3-string power chords. And it's so funny because you can hand me the bass and I will play Rancid songs.
Sure.
But you hand me a guitar and I can't hold a damn 3-string power chord.
Oh!
Like it's so funny because just the size difference and the space of the fret, my hand and my muscle memory are not there yet. And it's so funny because it's more fun than bass here lately, because if I make an improvement on bass, I'm making like micro improvement. And all I have to do is play a power chord like correctly 4 times in a row on this guitar, and I'm like, God damn, I'm awesome. This is amazing.
I feel like that's how like weight loss works too. Like if you're really big, you're gonna lose a lot of weight really fast at first.
Yeah.
Or something, and then you're like, oh, I'm awesome.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I kind of have the opposite going on of probably the reason I hated weightlifting. Okay, is I'm so scrawny and I have no base of previous work in weightlifting. So it's so hard and just not my thing. I'm sure it could be if I just kept doing it, but it's like embarrassing at the beginning and I'm terrible at it. Whereas at least with this, I was halfway decent at the start. So I was like, I love this. Running is the opposite. I'll run like 8 miles a day and it's fine, but it's because I basically am like a leaf in the wind.
Right.
There's no resistance. It's just like I weigh nothing. It's easy for me to do, but I can't lift a goddamn thing.
Sure. I am also a runner. I've been running like my whole life, and I never thought it was like hard, I guess. And like people always ask, like,
I also don't tell people it's fun.
Right.
I do it every day, but I also, like, don't tell people, like, I do it because it's not a great time. It's just the one physical thing I can do that I don't feel dumb.
Yeah, I don't think it's fun. Like, I'm not having a real blast doing it, but it's, like, I don't think it's hard.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
5 miles in, having the best fucking time.
Nope.
Like, this is so much better than Netflix. I'm so sweaty. I can't breathe. It's amazing.
Yeah, just a small asthma attack, but it's fine. And
did you run in school? Did you like ever do any of the like running sports? Like,
yes.
Cross country or track? Or
yeah. So I've been doing cross country and track since like 6th grade, and then I ran in college also.
I feel like that I probably would have really enjoyed. It's a shame I didn't know that in high school. I did a podcast with a gentleman in Australia the other day, and he let me just bore the hell out of whoever was listening with like my career.
Okay.
And he asked something about, like, well, what did I do before I learned how to play an instrument? And I learned really late. I don't think I started playing till like, sophomore year of high school, which is pretty late.
Yeah, that's late. Yeah.
Your first hobby. And it literally was my first hobby, because he was like, well, did you do any sports? And I was like, dude, my mom gave me $5 to, like, hit the ball off the tee and t-ball. I mean, we're talking about the most unathletic person you've ever met. I don't know what I did with my time before I played an instrument. I'm like, what was I doing all the time? I'd never have been a video games guy either, so I'm like, I literally don't know what I did from, like, kindergarten time until I joined a band. I don't have any idea where my free time was spent. I went to cross-country I guess it's not open gym, but, you know, the open practice at the very beginning of the season?
Yeah.
I did that. I did that once.
Did you hate it?
I don't think I liked it. I assume I didn't like it if I didn't go back.
Aw, yeah, cross country was definitely intense at my school, but I really loved it, and I've been running since I graduated. Like, it's just something I really enjoy doing, so, yeah, so I've been doing a lot of, like, working out and running and working on acting stuff and watching a lot of comedy specials on Netflix.
Since you're doing comedy, what is your, if you had to name a few people, what is your lane of people, like, who are releasing specials right now that you're into?
Chris D'Elia has one coming out in, like, maybe a couple days.
Yeah, so if that's your lane, you probably like all the same lane that I'm obsessed with.
And yeah.
To one day accidentally be off in time to see any of them.
Right. So, like, Tom Segura's new special is on, and it's, like, killing it on Netflix. But he's supposed to be in Atlantic City in August, so I really hope that, like, that doesn't get canceled.
I just missed him in Dayton and Columbus last year, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I haven't gotten to see him yet, but I, like, love him.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of him. I love D'Elia. I love Burr.
Oh, my God, I love Bill Burr. Ugh.
I like Burt Kreischer, but I actually like his podcast more than his stand-ups.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like the honest character that he is on his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I like the questions that he asks people. And so are you doing open mics, or were you doing full gigs? I know I watched some of your stuff off the links on your pages, but were you actually, like, out trying to do a comedy circuit?
Yeah, so, like, in Philly during the week, there's a bunch of, like, different types of open mics. So I usually try to hit at least one of them, like, once a week. And then I also kind of am in with, like, this promoter dude in Philly. So he, like, books shows at different venues. And if he has, like, openings, he'll put me on. So it's, like, it's not, like, I mean, I like to say it's just, like, one of my many side hustles. It's not, like, my main source of income or anything like that. But it's, like, something that I really enjoy, and I really like writing, and, like, I love being on stage and, like, performing and stuff. So it's, like, a really good outlet. It's, like, written out basically like a script, because that's, like, what makes sense to me coming from, like, an acting kind of background.
And are you running a set like the big comedians that we were talking about, where you're, like, perfecting a set so that you can track that set down the road and release it?
I think it would be super awesome to have, like, a Netflix or, like, HBO or Comedy Central, like, special, like, an hour. So I'm working towards, like, having an hour's worth of material.
So that's, like, the way that you would plan it, comedians always plan it. Then you're like, that's the goal, that's the pinnacle.
Yeah, so the goal for now, like, as far as, like, short term, is, like, to try to book shows that where I can do, like, longer sets. So, like, 15 to 20 minutes would be, like, really good, because a lot of times if I'm opening shows, it's like 10 minutes, and that's like, it might seem long, but when you're up there, it goes by so fast, and it's like, wait, I had so many other things I wanted to go over. So
do you think that's the most addictive form of anything you do?
I mean, I think so, because you're trying to get, like, constant recognition or, like, approval.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
The reason I still am living the lifestyle that I do is because I still haven't found anything that feels the same way I feel when I'm trying to perform in front of a group.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's probably it. And it's maybe not the most stable thing in the world, but I couldn't do anything else.
All the other stuff, like you're saying, not the most stable industries you and I have chosen.
No.
We're always chasing the next thing. We're always trying to book the next thing.
Right. It's like gig work.
I'm kind of used to not knowing what's happening 6 months from now, just not for this reason.
Well, sure.
Well, I have to go run 8 miles.
Yes, please do.
Can I do a couple shout-outs real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Miss May-I is obviously not on the road. You can find all info and anything you need at missmayimusic.com. We are working on content. We don't live near each other, and we're tackling that weird thing like a lot of other people are, so I'm excited about all the stuff we have coming there here soon. You can check out my Instagram. It's Who's Ryan Depp, and I put everything there. I have a Facebook, but I don't like to fuck with it, and I have Twitter, and I don't like to fuck with that either. So
there you go.
find everything there. I got links to the podcast on there. New episode is about to go up. And there'll be a Patreon link and all that good stuff there.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely excited to check out your podcast. So
this one's so cool. If you guys like the early Miss May-I records, Joey recorded them, and Joey recorded me in high school. So it's it's a cool look back at the beginning of my career and his career, which is cool because I actually played in bands at the same time as him. And they're talking about the Monument record and the Apologies for the Week record, which I actually wasn't on, so it was fun for me to talk about with him.
That's so cool.
It's cool.
Wow.
Cool first episode.
All right, yeah, I'm excited to check that out. That's on Anchor. Is it anchor.fm and then Storytime with Grandpa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me know what you think of it. Obviously, you put a bunch of them out, so I just started doing them. I didn't even put an intro on that one. There's no, it is straight up Joey and I having a conversation, and I'm stoked. It'll be a fun new project. I'm excited to keep trying to make them good enough that I approve of them myself.
Yeah.
Never gonna happen.
But you can try. And I'm glad you're doing it. Try. That's so cool.
Yeah, thanks. Let me know what you think of it.
All right, I will. Thanks, Ryan. Sorry for chatting so long.
Yeah. it's all good. It's not like we have a lot filling up our schedule.
No, literally nothing. So
yeah.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, see ya.
All right, bye.
You just heard another episode of the Ladies of Metal Show. Subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Need more metal in your life? Listen to Ladies of Metal Radio on the TuneIn Radio app, hosted by the Ladies of Metal Models. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at Ladies of Metal.